It was the morning of August 13th. The place was the High Uinta Mountains, in the arid part of northeastern Utah. Yeah, it seemed like a day like any other day, but I had a feeling deep in my gut. The day wasn't going to be like all the rest of the days. The day was going to be something different. Something, I don't know what it was, something was itching in the back of my mind, telling me that today was somehow special, but couldn't quite put my finger on it. I got to the office soon enough. On the way, I noticed that the weather seemed just like that day 7 years ago. It seemed like the day was only yesterday, though. It was an arid, hot morning like this one. You could literally go and hear anything happening a miles around, but the thing was, it was so quiet out, you couldn't hear a thing. But then again, sometimes revolutions, sometimes important things, are thunderous the most when they ain't making a single sound. I finally managed to get to the office, and there was some dame waiting out there out front. She started to tell me about the problem, why she came to see me today. I told her, hey, I'll go and listen to you when I'm on duty, and I ain't on duty until I get into that office and I have my first cup of joe. She said that the dates, the times, on the outside of the building said that I was supposed to have opened over an hour ago. I told her, hey, don't judge me by the outside of my building, and don't judge me by my outside appearance either. I may look one way on the outside, but hey, I could be a completely different person on the inside. I've seen them before, I've put away a lot of crooks. Some of the guys, you look at them and you think, yeah, that's a lowlife, that's a scumball, that's somebody that you think belongs to be put away, forgotten somewhere on some dusty shelf where you're never going to see him again. But another guy, you look at him, you look and you think, hey, what an upstanding citizen, what a great guy, I'd like to know this guy better. But then when you finally get to meet him, really see him in depth, you get a real review of him, you really see what he's like, and then you realize that he's just another crumb bum like all the rest. Yeah, sure, I've had a few false leads in the past, a few things I thought were going one way and not another. Anyways, we finally make it up to the apartment. Thankfully, my secretary had gotten there when I was supposed to have been there earlier, but hey, it's my place of work. I got somebody I pay to get in there early, so I don't have to. We both sit down with a cup of joe, and I take that first shot, and it hits me like 1,000 bolts of lightning, waking me out of the stupor I was in. After all, I didn't get to bed until at least 3 a.m., and let me tell you, when you don't get to bed until 3 a.m., you need your caffeine to keep going, unless you're one of those lucky bums that don't have a job that's demanding of them and you can sleep in until the afternoon. But I wasn't so lucky. She starts telling me about a problem. Apparently, she's got some sort of thing going on, some sort of get-together. She wants to know what would be best for her and her little friends to watch. I lean over the table and I say to her, look, baby, you've come to the wrong side of town looking for the wrong thing if you're trying to go and get recommendations out of me. She said to me that I was the best, that she had heard that I was the one who could tell her what she wanted to know. I leaned back in my chair and I said, yeah, maybe, but I think you're barking up the wrong tree. This anime stuff isn't what you think it is. It's all just a bunch of schoolgirls and mechs, a whole bunch of crazy sci-fi mixed with technology, a bunch of tentacles all going after a body and they ain't asking you to dance. But she leaned over and she said, she didn't think I was telling the truth. I wasn't being straight with her. She thought that I was hiding something, that I really could help her, that I was just playing hardball. I looked into her eyes, her deep, beautiful brown eyes that a man could get lost in and drown while he was trying to swim to the edge, but just give up so that he'd be enveloped by their beauty. And I said, Toots, you nailed me right to the heart. I can tell you what you want. I can tell you. I've seen a lot of anime in my day. I know what's bad. I know what's good. And I know what's right up your alley. I got some things I could recommend to you. I got some things that would blow your mind, but you know, you're a sweet kid, you're an innocent kid, I don't want to go and see you messed up like that. So I'm going to tell you what. Go get your friends, go and get some Escaflowne. Everybody loves that. Boys, girls, have something for everybody. Give them a little bit of Romna 1/2. It's a bit wacky, a lit out there, but it's perfect for a party. It gives an excellent atmosphere. Try to stay away from the too heavy episodes and the filler stuff, though. And last of all, I think you should wrap it up with a bit of Excel Saga. That stuff's fresh, it's neat, it's got a lot of in-jokes, but come on, the insanity of the Fusefair episodes is just, it's enough for anybody. You need to mellow out with something, too. So I say grab anything that says Miyazaki and pop it into your player. You'll be one set dame. She looks grateful. She didn't think I could help her so fast. She was impressed with my speed. I can see that she's washed over by relief. She kind of adjusts a hat from her curly locks, and she says to me, "Thanks." She slips an envelope on the table, and I say, "Hey, I didn't even tell you my rates yet." She says, "I know, but I've heard what your rates are, and what I put in there is at least double. I appreciate what you could do for me. You've been here for a lot of people. I'm glad you'd be here for me." My secretary was writing on the typewriter in the background, and suddenly the tip-tapping stopped when the lady said this. I could tell she was listening to our conversation. So I turned to the lady, knowing my secretary was listening to both of us speak, and I say, "Dame, let me tell you something. I wasn't here for you. I wasn't here for them. That's not the reason I was here. I'm here to go and separate the good guys from the bad guys, the people and worth hanging out. If you want to go and waste your time watching some sort of wretched video about some sort of high school guy that was average until he met five girls of his dreams, well, then you just go to your local video store. But I'm here to provide salvation to those who are looking for my guiding hand. I may be a bit rough around the edges, a bit jagged, but by gum, I'm trying to go and save these people from making a mistake. So yeah, I helped you and I helped them, but I look at it as duty, not a personal favor. But if it helped you along the way, ma'am, I'm more than glad to have been of service." She looks a bit taken aback, but by the time I finish speaking, she seems to have gotten it. "Yeah, I'm here. I am here for the little people. Sure, I tell myself otherwise. I say I'm just looking to have a good time, have a job that's fun. But in the end, really, that's all why I started this whole little agency of mine. I wasn't looking to go and have a good time. That was just a nice side effect. In the end, I wanted to keep people from making the same mistakes I had in the past. And I wanted them to not waste their money on some two-bit scumbag that was looking to sell them a raw deal." She leaves the door, closes it behind her. I lean back in my chair, put my hands behind my head, notch down my hat a bit to cover my eyes. I drift off to the tip-tappy sounds of my secretary. Yeah, I'd been on the job for 7 years. Helped over 100 people. But you know, it was so gratifying. I think I could do another 100 more.
Those clever engineers.
But no.
Time for ASO Radio.
And welcome to another exciting episode of ASO Radio. This is episode 98, and I am NZ17. Joining me this episode is going to be...
Link 1986.
And...
Warp Shadow.
And together we are going to bring you the 100th episode of ASO Radio. Now, when this show airs... Oh, yes, Warp Shadow?
You just said it was 98.
I was lying. This is actually the 100th episode. We're having a bit of tired time. We got to pre-record things, catch up, whole big mess. But what we're actually recording and people are listening to right now is the 100th episode of ASO Radio. And the date that this episode is airing is actually August 13th. 2006, making ASO Radio 7 years old.
Wow.
Yes, let's get some clapping going there.
I can't really clap.
Yes. So, I have to deal with a lot of clap all the time. Anyways, we're going to go ahead and do the news. And as an honorary thing, I'm going to let Warp Shadow and Link 1986 go ahead and take the helm with the first two news stories. And then we'll go with me, and we'll just keep going like that. So, Warp Shadow, go ahead and take the story about Toy Animation and the Walt Disney Television Corporation.
Okay, there is a Toei and Disney are co-producing a show. It was reached agreement on the Jetix action adventure block over the Toon Disney network run by WDETIJ, which I think might be Japanese, but I'm not sure.
No, no, it's WTIGGER.
Ah. Okay. Well, it's on the Jetix blocks, which reaches 279 million homes. But the first animated series to be developed as part of this agreement will be a mix of CG and live action called Robodies. The animated film shorts will be Toei Animation's first series that uses CG animation. The miniature robots that appear in Robodies are all original characters designed by a 12-year-old boy. The robots...
Well, that just screams quality there.
Oh, yeah. That... I think they're actually designed by adults, but in the show, they're designed by a 12-year-old.
Well, either way, I'm sure they're going to be stunning.
Yes. It goes on for a while to self-congratulatory claptrap, which...
Stroking their own ego, huh?
Yes.
All right, well, we'll go ahead and let Link 1986 take this next one, because I really, really want to go and hear how mangled he's going to make the big, long name in the story. Go ahead, Link 1986.
Fine. ADV to release Atwari Ramono.
Well, pretty good. It's actually Utaware Rumono, but let's see how you do next time.
All right. ADV announced that they have licensed Utaware Romano, which will be released in North America under the name Shadow Warrior Chronicles.
Bit easier for English speakers to say.
There is. Is it expected to be released early 2007?
The end.
The end.
And
yes.
For those of you listening and wondering who these two characters are with me on the show, no, they're not my new permanent co-hosts. Warp Shadow and Link 1986, I'm going to have you guys introduce yourselves, as you wouldn't mind, before we go further and confuse the people. Don't want to get to the fan mail before we finally say who you are, and then they'll be like, oh. So, Warp Shadow, go ahead and introduce yourself, tell the people your relation with NZ17 Productions, and what you do around here and all that.
Okay, I'm Warp Shadow. I was a longtime fan of the original ASO Radio when it was not on NZ17.com.
The pre-hiatus period.
Oh, yes. That's why it's only 100 episodes at 7 years. So.
Yes, if you think about it, each year has about 52 weeks in it. And so if I was to actually produce an episode every week, we would have been to episode, let's say, 350 by now. But... I figure Ace of Radio is like a rare, delicious treat, and we don't want to spoil our appetites. So, gotta space it out, make people, you know, want it bad. But do go on. Sorry, I took the stage from you there.
Okay, and after that, I started an anime review site. Well, it was originally NZ's idea, but I ran with it. And I do Any Fanatic Who right now.
Yeah, see, what my plan was is when I initially went to DigiPen, I went to the DigiPen Institute of Technology for a while to attend the school there, I decided to convert ASO Radio into a web print format, but it didn't go too well, wasn't too popular, was a lot more work than I thought. And so Warp Shadow said, well, since you don't want to do it anymore, how about me? And he kept on doing it, so when I brought ASO Radio back around, I said, hey, Warp Shadow, you know, come on to NZ17.com. I've got a new website going. I'll bring Anna Fanaticu in there and make it a nice website, and you keep producing more reviews and articles for it.
Yes, that sounds like the plan. And yeah, so I've been doing reviews ever since, so...
So how many reviews do we have up on Anafanatiku now, Warp Shadow?
See, currently, I think it's 439, although I have a couple I want to throw up pretty soon.
Ah, good, good. See, now that's hard work ethic. And speaking of hard work ethic, or lack thereof, we're going to let Link1986 introduce himself now.
Well, hi, I'm Link1986. I'm probably the newcomer in this trio of retards.
We're not retarded, we just smell ripe and have a tendency to shy away from people.
Okay. I guess I'm related in that I've been doing MacRobo V...
The comic.
The comic. And everything else related to that since, what, December of 2003?
Sounds about right.
And that's pretty much it.
And since we're taking a moment here, please explain to everybody why you hate MacRobo V, the series, and have aborted it like so many unwanted children.
Well, you know, like a child whom you leave up for adoption. One day I will return to it wanting to claim it as my own and...
destroying what semblance of home life it's developed.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, and what are your thoughts on this little development, Warp Shadow?
Let me explain. I don't think of it as a child, but of a very greedy and selfish robot.
Yes, yes, Link 1986 is much like that.
That will one day turn on its creator in a fury of destruction.
Well, it sounds like V, until he realizes he's covered in red and he'll start running screaming about the blood.
So you're saying I should nip it in the butt right now and just forget about MacRobo V altogether.
Well,
yeah.
Actually, it's nip it in the bud, but if you like to bite people's asses, that's your own thing. But let's move on to the next bit of news. At their 2006 Otakon panel, Funimation announced their license of the comedy series School Rumble. The company announced both the first and second seasons of the show, as well as the OAV. The series will begin releasing in 2007. Okay, Warp Shadow, will you take the next one about Paprika at TIFF?
Okay. Let's see. Paprika, let's see. And Tick on Concrete will be screened at the Tokyo International Film Festival. I think this is the wrong one.
No, that's the right one.
Okay. From October 21st to the 29th. Tick on Concrete opens... December 23rd in Japanese theaters. Paprika does not have a theatrical schedule yet. Although, I think there's something on the site saying that it's going to be in U.S. theaters in March.
That's true. Alright, and Link 1986, take this last one.
Okay.
By the way, just to get this out in the open, do you have 1,985 brothers? Or is it just kind of a different 1986?
Different.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sisters.
Hot sisters.
Oh, it must be hard finding good boyfriends for them all. Take this last one.
Okay. Encore Action has added Steamboy and Shinesman to its lineup. They will air September 16th and September 30th at midnight Eastern Time.
All right, so that does it for the news for this episode. But of course, the real meat of ASO Radio lies within the reviews section. Thankfully, that's coming up next.
Yay!
Yay? Or, oh my gosh! Find out in a moment. Alright, so what are we going to be reviewing this time? Excellent question, and I have an excellent answer. Screw you, and stop putting your nose in other people's business.
I haven't heard of that title.
It's a wonderful show, just like this beautiful and ugly world. So moving along, This episode, we're going to be reviewing Boys B, Volume 1, Comic Party, Volume 1, and later on up, we're going to review a couple of things in the hot spot. So first, we're going to be reviewing Boys B. Now, Warp Shadow, you've written a review of this for Anafanatic Who and Comic Party, so go ahead and get us started on Boys B, if you would, and, you know, let us know what you think of that.
Actually, I've just seen the first episode, first volume, so I haven't written a review of it, but I have seen the first volume.
Well, you've written a review in my heart, so that's good enough. So go ahead and tell us all about what you can remember about this show and what you thought of it.
Okay, Boys B is the story of three high school boys, at least so far, and their adventures...
They're wild and sexy parties.
Oh, yes. Yes, and their adventures in the world of romance. Largely, I found this was a very episodic episodic review, as not review, but episodic show that tends to take the plot one character at a time, rather than being your just traditional harem show. That by episode 3, yes, you see three different girls, but they're not all falling for the same guy, which is a very nice change.
Yes, it's better than, I love Tenchi.
Yes. Not the, 1500th Ryoko versus Ayaka battle.
Yes, after all, you know, after being around each other that long, they're going to keep fighting just steadily. You know, they're not going to either grow closer or be more understanding or just move away. They're just going to keep fighting.
Yes.
After all, that's what all real people do. All right. Well, thank you for that introduction there, Warp Shadow. And so basically, you got these three guys, Koichi, Makoto, and Yoshihiko, all in the same class, essentially. They're in high school. I believe they're second-year students. And they're all basically, like high school boys, horny and willing. So, Boys B is essentially about them trying to find love and romance. The first guy ends up finding out that he has developed feelings for his childhood friend. Oh my god, the shock! Not too many anime where it turns into a romantic relationship between childhood friends. So, a real rare treat there. The next guy falls in love with a nurse that tends to him after he managed to injure his leg. Which, you know, when you hear nurse and love and late night encounters in the hospital, you're starting to not think family-friendly film, but don't go there, thankfully. And then the third guy happens to get French kissed by a French girl, and everybody, you know, this episode I found rather amusing because he keeps going back to the library where she kissed him, hoping to run into her, but she's not there. So each time that he's there, he takes the opportunity to read one of the books that are there. And so he sees himself at first like this really romantic thing like you would see in some sort of TV show made for women. And then the next time he sees himself like as a heroic knight rescuing her. Another time he sees himself as a like space adventurer who rescues her. It's basically the same scene of him catching her falling off a ladder or a high place, but put in all of these other crazy situations that you typically find. So I found this one rather fun. But of course, the ending had to be bittersweet, because what sort of Japanese tragedy would it be if that wasn't the case? So Boys B, though, very skimpy on the episodes. I think it's only a 13-episode series, and each of the four discs only has three episodes except for the last one. So, you know, a little skimpy on the episodes there kind of disappointed me. All in all, though, I enjoyed this show. It was pretty good. It had a real doujinshi feel to it, kind of like a fan-created thing. Not because it was, like, crazy giant breasts and, like, skin-tight leather, you know, like so many creative interpretations of our favorite series. But more so, it was because this it had high, how to put it, it had high production values, but the look itself looked to have similar coloring and character design like you see in doujinshi. But I'm going to go and give Boys B a recommended. It doesn't have quite enough solid a feel for me to give it a highly recommended, but I did enjoy this show. And who knows, you know, it may get even better with time, but that's hard to say. After all, I thought that His and Her Circumstances was going to be really fantastic, and it was up until the last two volumes, so... any thoughts on this, Link 1986?
I haven't seen the show or read the manga, so...
No, I mean thoughts on what I said.
Oh, well, I thought you dragged it out a little long.
That is the point of the show, is listening to what I say
and having
funny quips with each other.
Oh, okay. Well, I felt that you dragged it out a bit too long. Could have, you know, cut it up shorter and gotten the point across.
Good news is you're fired. So moving on, we're going on to our next review now. This one's called Comic Party. And don't worry, there's no kamikazes in it. This one's actually pretty inspirational, and I'll let Warp Shadow go ahead and tell about this one, too.
Okay, Comic Party is the story of Kazuki Sendo and his his descent in the world of fan comics. If you want to use the word doujinshi, this is the show to refer to, since that is what Kazuki eventually ends up doing. But to start out, he is dragged off by his crazy friend Taishi. And yes, Taishi is... He's sort of that nuts in that... have you seen Nadesco? Have you, Lindsay?
No, I haven't seen Nadesco yet.
Okay. But if you've seen Nadesco seen Naruto, he's crazy in that guy sort of way. As in, either Guy Daigoji or guy who's that, the teacher of Rock Lee.
Yes, yes, that sort of over-the-top, crazy, enthusiastic...
Oh, yes.
...pulling strings and pushing them towards crap sort of guy.
Oh, yes. But Taishi takes him to a... comic convention, which is a bit different from our anime conventions in America. And he meets a bunch of people. All cute girls, of course.
Since, you know, there's very few anime that I've actually seen that have hideous girls, and I find that disappointing. Now, people may think I'm just BSing here, but seriously, if everybody's beautiful looking, then nobody's beautiful looking.
Yes. I see your point.
Although beauty is in the eye of the beholder, so...
And since they're anime, we cannot behold them, so...
Yeah, there you go.
We can't beholden or beloved them, so... But,
Oh, we can. We're just called otakus, then.
Oh, I see. Yes.
Yes.
Of course, this show does get all of the female standard archetypes in here. You know, the cute, mousy one, the shy, reserved one, the naive one, the over-enthusiastic one... You know, you name it, they throw it in here, eh, Warp Shadow?
Oh, yes. That's the way they do it. But, yeah, I found it a very nice show since it does actually have a point, unlike most of these shows, that the main male character actually has a point to being in the show. Unlike
and somewhat of a personality.
Oh, yes. Which,
and, of course, his loyal childhood friend.
Who hates anime. With a pretty much a passion.
Especially doujinshi, and especially since it's been pulling Kazuki into its world.
Oh, yes. Yes, Yeah, you remember Genshiken, don't you?
Let's see, is that one of the shows I hated or the one of the shows that I liked but can't remember?
Oh, I was thinking she's somewhat analogous to, say, Saki Kusakabe from that show.
Nah, sorry, don't ring a bell.
Okay.
But perhaps in the future, when I've watched even more hundreds of anime, it will. After all, I got another 200 shows in me at least, so,
yes.
But, do go on.
Let's see, okay, his childhood friend is Mizuki, who, hates his new hobby, since it's, controlling his life. And Taishi as well. And, but he makes friends with another girl, a bespeckled doujinshi artist from Osaka by the name of Yu, which makes it think that you should watch it subbed, because I have this rule that any show with a major character named Yu just becomes a lot more difficult to watch dubbed.
That's true, because you think they're talking to you personally, and you're like, no, I don't love Kazuki. I think that, you know, Rei's much prettier, or, you know, whatever happens to be in that particular show.
Mm-hmm. But, who teaches him more about the world of fan comics, and for the first volume, he's pretty much learning various aspects of the fandom. Let's see, in I think episode 3 he runs into a cosplayer, Reiko. How many episodes are there in volume 1?
There are I think 3 episodes plus a bonus little thing that doesn't actually tie into the story.
Okay, so he it finishes, I think, with Reiko.
And a piece of cake. This volume came with a delicious piece of strawberry cake.
Ooh.
Well, it was delicious until they shoved it into the little green scene envelope. And then it was just, I had to clean the disc before I could do the review. And after I cleaned the disc, the cake tasted awful. So, although it did double as a plate, the DVD did work as a plate.
Oh, yes. Okay, but, yeah, so let's see, that Mizuki...
pretty much covered it pretty well, so I'll go ahead and take over at this point, if you don't mind.
Okay.
I enjoyed Comic Party. It was a good fun. Funny thing about Comic Party is, much like Boys B, the art style, or maybe just the dubbing or what have you, really gave it a doujinshi feel to me, which in the case of this show is rather appropriate.
Now, both of them were published by Right Stuff International.
Yes,
so.
Right Stuff's dubs either are really great, or they're like, geez, what ADR director picked the people for this one? I thought the dub was competent, but it wasn't exactly endearing. And the overall plot line is simplistic, definitely simplistic. It's more, if you want an educational show to teach people about the world of doujinshi if they don't know about it, at least the first few episodes. But the most important thing in this show to me is I found it a bit inspirational. Now, of course, I run NZ17 Productions, of which ASO Radio is a part of, and it's really inspiring to see the main character in this show go from just a regular person to start going and finding his passion in doing doujinshi to actually going to a convention and selling it. Now, of course, he doesn't sell very many of his first copy. I think he only sells 7 or 8 copies. But he does make it, does give him a sense of, you know, accomplishment, of self-worth. And, you know, in turn, it made me, as a small content provider, also feel inspired that, you know, as if I were in his place and seeing that such a thing could be possible.
Why, of course, my brother. It is our first step to world domination!
Indeed. We will see our episodes and our reviews and our websites with comics to the very ends of the earth and to media domination.
Oh, yes. And by the way, Taishi does refer to Kazuki as my brother, even in Japanese. He just says, my brother.
Which I find very disappointing, not with the Japanese dub, but with the English dub, because they kept it as my brother, but I thought that since Right Stuff is so pro-Japanese, I mean, after all, their DVDs default to Japanese with subtitles rather than the English dub, I found it very disappointing that instead they didn't change it to where he said my brother in Japanese instead of my brother in English, because I think that would have worked better.
Oh, yes. So,
I'm going to go and give Comic Party a highly recommended. Normally, I would give this probably just a regular recommended rating, except for two things. I think the show's going to get better as it goes along. It definitely seems like it's not just maybe sort of, but like this is just a couple of steps of introduction, and then we get to the meat of things. And also, like I said, I found it pretty inspiring.
Oh, yeah. This is a show, well, not exactly anime fandom, but it's a show about anime fans for anime fans, which I thought is really cool.
And speaking of which, next episode, I'm going to be reviewing Animation Runner Kurumi, or Kuromi, can't remember exactly, but I will tell you this much. It is also a show about an anime/manga industry, but it will not be getting as high of a recommendation. So, more about that next week. For now, though, you had something to say?
Did you finish watching Paranoia Agent?
Yes, I did.
Oh, yes, and there's another great animation episode there. Episode 10, I think.
You'll have to refresh my memory. It's been a couple of weeks.
Oh.
No, we're the anime studio and the guy keeps getting things
up. Yeah.
You might want to get closer to the mic when you say such a thing, Link 1986.
Well, no, it's about the anime studio where the guy keeps getting things wrong.
Oh,
and
I remember that episode now that you guys mention it.
Oh, yes. That is such dark humor.
Well, see, there you go. Just go and skip Animation Runner Kurumi, which just provides an exaggerated, screaming, yelling sort of perspective on things.
With beautiful women.
And then watch Paranoia Agent to get a much more realistic viewpoint on the whole thing.
Yes, especially what Moromi said is a line in that, which is, take a rest, take a rest.
And then saying Tanqueray, which I don't know why. I guess heavily into the drink. I suppose several characters in this probably were.
No, it's like, throughout this episode, you just saw people just picking up someone's finished work off of their cold, dead fingers. It's just freaking awesome.
Yeah, you'd almost think they were politicians.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, we need to get going to the fan mail section now, so both of you shut off, and we'll continue on.
Okay.
Sound good?
Sound good.
Okay, then. Okay, so now it's the fan mail section of the show, the part where you, the fans, write into us, and we go ahead and say, what a wonderful compliment you gave us, or please, that doesn't apply, you're writing to the wrong place, such as the time when the guy was being a jerk and was saying he was writing about The Simpsons and ha-ha, which, listen to the archives if you don't remember that. Okay. But also very awesome for everybody is we have a if I can pull it out and I can tell everybody. Okay, this is my little friend. His name's Hamtaro, and he's a ham or hamster, and he's going to be taking the fan mail this episode. He's so much fun to talk to. Okay, maybe not. Let me see here. Now, I've got a special number that you can call in. Now, traditionally, we do fan mail on the show that's sent in via our fan mail submission form that's on the website. Sends me an email. which can, of course, be found at www.nz17.com/ASO Radio. But also, I have a special voicemail number you can call if you would like to leave voicemail for us to go and play on the air. Now, of course, we're going to screen the voicemail, so don't go and call in some rude messages, because I'll only listen to those at night when no one's around. So, if you would like to leave a voicemail for us, go ahead and dial on your touch-tone phone, or pulse phone. We also accept that, because it goes to the same place. It's area code 775-514-1140. Once again, that's 1-775-514-1140. Or you can also reach me through a SIP-compatible voice over IP application, such as the Gizmo Project, which can be found at gizmoproject.com. And I'm going to leave the address for that on the fan mail page so it can easily be found, because obviously you're not going to write down the really long thing that is my SIP address. And, of course, I'll have the phone number on there as well. Okay, so moving along, let's get to the fan mail, which we have for this episode of ASO Radio. Now, this first one comes to us from Jared L. Banks. Jared L. Banks, of course, was our winner for the June 2006 Fan Art Contest. And you may be wondering, of course, why we're reading this in August, since we should have read it in July. Well, Link 1986, you were witness to these events, so go ahead and tell them what happened to the NZ17 Productions website in July, which caused this episode and its brethren to be delayed, as well as several other things.
Right. Well, our internet host, which is Foodinet.
That's FUIDANET.
Yeah, they decided, you know, it'd be a really great idea. There's no one on this server, so let's just delete everything on it, and, oh, wait, maybe there was something on that server. Yeah, so we were pretty much on that server.
See, what happened is we go through Foodinet for our website hosting, and Foodinet, in turn, is a reseller for a larger hosting company, and one of the people that had their website hosted there requested a reformatting of their hard drives that were hosting the website. Why somebody would request that, I'm not exactly sure, but what have you. The person that went to erase that hard drive got and mixed up the IP numbers and instead erased the cPanel 1 and 2 hosting computers for Foodinet. And so ASO Radio, Anafanaticu, and Macro Movie the Comic, which, of course, Link 1986 authored, noticed the past tense on that. He says he'll come back, though, so maybe it'll just be like ASO Radio and take 3 years. But here's my point. My point is that it delayed us because they restored what they did could after 3 days of downtime. And it was like a month old, so we had to redo Club NZ, we had to re-upload articles, comics, ASO Radio episodes, salvage what we could from what their backup was, what our backup was, recreate things as best we could from different things that we had cached and whatnot. And essentially it was a big pain in the butt, right, Warp Shadow?
Oh yes, very much so.
How many reviews did you have to actually upload?
I think about 30 or so.
Yeah, so as you can see, quite a pain for everybody.
Yeah, didn't we lose like 2 months worth of...
Yeah, also our statistics tracking program lost 2 months worth of statistics and only caught the tail end of June, so our stats for that were completely thrown off, so that rather sucks when you're trying to go and make a new version of your advertising brochure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but so this first email is from Jared L. Banks. We wrote to her letting her know that she won the fan art contest for our Bandy fan art contest, which we run every month. Of course, still time to get in your entries for this month. You know, so be sure to use the fan art submission page and enter, and you could win some fantastic prize from our mystery vault. Would you read this email, please, Link 1986?
Sure, you want me to read it girly, too?
sure, read it like a valley girl.
Okay. Oh my god! I can't believe it! Thank you! Well, let's see. I'm collecting certain things, like Inuyasha a lot. Manga titles I'm collecting, too. By the Sword, own volume 2. Meru Puri, own 1 through 3. Oren High School Host Club, want volume 6. Wish, own 1 and 4. And, you know, titles like Rurouni Kenshin, own 2, 19 to 21. Thank you so much! I'm so surprised. I'll be sure to rant about you guys on my site. You guys are great. Thanks, Jade.
Okay, so I wrote back to her saying we had a lovely prize from a mystery vault to send, which in this case was a volume of Oh My Goddess. Think it kind of fit up there with the whole magical and medieval kind of, you know, stuff that she listed.
Mm-hmm.
And
but she listens shoujo.
True, true. And Oh My Goddess, I wouldn't say is technically shoujo, but I think it's something everybody can enjoy.
Well, at least it's not boobies.
True, true. But I think Gerald Banks would be quite surprised if she received those in the mail. Okay, so I wrote to her.
Not to mention how Enzy got a hold of some.
Yeah. I can't reveal my sources. Let's just say I have somebody who works in the business of death. Okay, so I wrote her, let her know she won, and let her know she forgot to send me her email address, and so the other fan mail is in regards to that. But she also wrote in that, oh, by the way, I'd like to contribute some more fan art, if that's okay with you. I'll have to scan it in, but it won't take long. Next email, I'll email some newer bandy pics. Well, thank you for entering our fan art contest, of course. Look forward to getting your future entries. Maybe you'll win a couple more mystery prizes. And, of course, very nice thing is that we haven't got the picks yet. So, if you could send those in, that would be much appreciated. And your package should be arriving any day now. Okay, so that does it for the fan mail portion of the show. Do you guys have any sort of news or announcements about your respective websites that you maintain the content of? Or is there anything that we've done recently on NZ17 Productions that I should mention on the show?
Nope, not that I can think of.
Warp Shadow?
I see. I'm just going to continue doing reviews for a while, but I'm open to having other people post their reviews, just as long as you vaguely know English.
And, of course, vaguely knowing English can lead to hilarious reviews sometimes as well. So if you would like to write for Annie Fanatic, who use the fan mail submission form on ASO Radio, and I'll forward those to Warp Shadow. Or, of course, you can post in our forum, which is nz17.com/forum, and that's available pretty much whenever our host doesn't go down. So you can visit there, and we're always, introducing new topics of conversation there. Like I said, a lot of stuff on the site was down, but I took the opportunity to go and upgrade a lot of stuff. So instead of running our Artist Alley on the Gallery 1 software, we're running it on the newer and better Gallery 2 software. It even has a RSS news feed that it provides, so you can be notified when we put up new pictures and have links straight to that. That'll be very useful around convention time when we go to NandesuCon in October. I also upgraded the MacroBV website with a new news script. If you haven't seen that, it's very similar to the one on Anafanatiku. Very nice. Instead of a super long page, we got, just nice little news segments. Let's see. ASO Radio, like I said, I'm going to put up the new contact information if you'd like to leave a voicemail. You can either call it in on the telephone, or you can use your computer if you have something like Gizmo Project or Akiga installed, which is compatible with SIP. And I believe there's some Microsoft program. It's not NetMeeting, but I think it's Windows Messenger or something newer like that that you can do that with. And I'll provide links to that, not 1986 of them, but I will provide links on the fan mail section of the show. Also, hopefully by the time this episode airs, we'll have a big advertising campaign that we'll be running on a popular anime-related website, and that way we can get out the news about us hitting 100 episodes, get some more listeners in, and we're going to be featuring some corporate sponsors on the show in the weeks to come. Don't want to name any names at this point, but let's just say we're glad to have them aboard. You guys haven't noticed yet, there also are now banner advertisements, technically widescreen skyscrapers, but we'll just keep it simple. There's banner ads on ASO Radio now. Of course, nobody wants to have banner ads on their website, but nobody wants to go and discontinue their website forever. So having advertising of some form seems to be a necessity in a world where people want money to go towards them getting products rather than supporting services. So, of course, we still, of course, have Club NZ, which I have put up, upgraded the software on that slightly. Also upgraded our advertising software. Not that the end users should really care about that. Serving you ads better than ever. We got Club NZ back online. We're going to keep it temporarily free and open for the moment, so that you can check out any of the comic strips that Link 1986 has authored, any of the special articles that Warp Shadows put up there, and any of the advanced episodes of ASO Radio. A couple of weeks or maybe a few months down the line, I'll switch that back to subscriber only, membership where you got to pay $20 a year. Heck of a deal if you ask me, though, only $1.70 a month. Advanced access every week to ASO Radio episodes and exclusive Anifinaticum and Macrobo V content. So very nice stuff. And in the future, if we go to NandesuCon, we're planning on having a table in the dealer's room. It's going to be really nice. There's lots of artists around there doing their drawings of different comics and whatnot, and other people selling their specialty stuff. And we're going to get an ASO Radio booth in there. I haven't decided on the exact details yet, so everything I'm saying right now is tentative, but we're planning. I got this really nice AV audio mixer. It's not AV. I mean, there's plugs where I could plug in a video cable, but it'd do no good. But I got a nice new audio mixer. I'm going to be getting a cardioid dynamic microphone with a large diaphragm in the next couple of weeks. In layman's terms, that'll make the voice on ASO Radio, it'll make the sound of my voice much more warmer and full sounding, so it'll sound even better than it does now just with this improvement in mixers. My last mixer just was like I bought really cheap and ended up dying on me. So I've been using one of those headset microphones, which has worked pretty well, but for something like we're doing right now, wouldn't be really ideal for multiple hosts. And by episode 105, see, I told you that there was site news to be said. By episode 105, I'm going to introduce some new hosts on the program. Now, of course, Link 1986, Warp Shadow, make very excellent guests. I want to thank you guys for being on the show, of course. But I would like to get some people who are going to be permanent permanent co-hosts showing up every week and helping me do the show. Because while it's nice having you guys on the phone, well, I'm going to be moving, so it'd be kind of hard to do with Link 1986 since he's sans internet access at the moment. And Warp Shadow, of course, lives quite a few states away. And while doing this over Gizmo Project is very nice, adds a bit of a delay in the audio, so it's harder to work that dynamic, especially since we just can't both sit down and watch the same show. So, all of this and more to be expected in the next couple of weeks of ASO Radio programming. And seems like there was something else, and it probably was important, but I forgot it for now, but I'll be sure to mention it when I remember. Probably wasn't even important or anything at all, but just as a disclaimer, I thought I would put that in there. Okay, well, let's go ahead, and we're going to move on to the hot spot. And now, it's time for the hotspot. Link 1986, would you go ahead and tell the people what we're going to be reviewing on the hotspot?
Sure. We're going to be reviewing the first volume of Sergeant Frog, the manga, the Nintendo DS game New Super Mario Bros., and another DS game...
Which is not about Mario and Luigi's long-lost relatives.
You mean Wario and Waluigi aren't long-lost relatives?
Oh my god!
Okay, and the DS game Zookeeper.
It should be noted, by the way, before we get into these reviews, that in the future, if it works out well, I may just actually interview anime industry professionals, such as voice actors and whatnot, using Gizmo Project and feature those on the show. It's a little bit harder to get interviews with them over the internet than it is at a convention, though, so we'll see how that all pans out. Okay, so first of all, we have Sergeant Frog. Now, Sergeant Frog, or as its proper title is, Kiroro Gunso, or as they say in the end credits of the anime, Afro Gunso. Afro Gunso has an afro. Meow. But regardless of the wacky Japanese ending, gotta talk about this wacky Japanese comic book. Sergeant Frog is all about Kiroro Gunso, a sergeant from the planet Charon who is planning on invading the Earth. He is part of an advanced recon squad who is basically supposed to take a surprise attack on the Earth and take over the population of humans that are living there. However, he is foiled by a pair of middle school students. That is essentially the setup for this show. Because there's two of them. There's Fuyuki, the younger brother, mm-hmm. and his sister, which is only a couple of months older, named Natsumi. And they're kind of opposite.
A couple months.
She's older than he is.
But they're brother and sister?
Yes.
So, like 9 months?
Sure.
Okay.
And for whatever reason, they never say anything about their father, so I don't know, maybe they talk about that in a later volume. Fuyuki is he's into the occult, into some, you know, things like UFOs, Bigfoot, stuff like that. And his sister doesn't like any of that weird stuff. And unlike Fuyuki, which tries to get along with everybody, kind of passive, she's, you know, a redheaded, fiery sort of attitude person. And he's like, he's winter and she's summer, as they, you know, always wear shirts saying that and whatnot.
Their names actually...
Natsumi means beautiful summer, and Fuyuki means?
Spirit of winter?
Something like that, yeah, I'm not sure, but valuable input there, Warp Shadow.
Mm-hmm.
Kiroro then basically becomes dominated by Natsumi, who forces him to do chores and whatnot. Originally, she was planning on going and dissecting him and putting him in a garbage bag after they came home from school, but the sergeant escaped. Set up a rope trap for her, and wanted to know where his powerful and versatile Karo Ball was, and threatened to cut off her panties because he thought she was hiding it in there. Which I should mention, by the way, the author of this. Would you grab the book out there on the shelf for me, Link 1986?
Yeah.
And by out there on the shelf, I mean it's out there on the shelf, not in here on a shelf. Anyways, the author used to be a big... hentai drawer. Not specifically pornographic stuff, but very titillating things. Etchy, if you would. Correct, Warp Shadow?
I think he or she also wrote Arcade Gamer Fubuki. Which
that very well may be.
Yes. It was a show about a girl who had a super video game playing powers when she flashed her panties.
Yeah, so obviously the author, Mine Yoshizaki, is quite the pervert. But I guess drawing all sorts of perverted, ecchi manga and doujinshi will do that to a person. So, but once he hit it big with Kiroro Gunso, this has been his big project for the last couple of years, is doing the manga and then later working with the production crew on the anime. So he hasn't done much pervy stuff outside of Sergeant Frog. Now, I'm not saying it's, you know, perverted sort of can't let your children read it, but I definitely say you'd want them to be, let's say, teenagers who have been given the talk, because this manga does kind of tend on the, hey, look, nipple impressions on the swimsuit side of things, and what have you. Warp Shadow, you've seen a bit of the anime of this, right?
About the first 5 episodes, has any of the other frogs been introduced in the first volume of the manga?
So far, they've introduced Tamama, who is living with Nishigawa, I believe her name is. She's the daughter of a very rich CEO of the world's largest company. And, of course, this leads to all hilarious things, like her buying an island just so that she can have a romantic time with Fuyuki. And she's got a split personality where one side's a violent, crazed psycho who will do anything to get closer to Fuyuki, and the other side is a timid, shy girl. And Tamama, a cohort of Kiroro, you might be sensing a theme with the aliens' names here, happens to also have a split personality much like this one, in which he uses his extreme jealousy over anyone getting close to Kiroro to emit fire laser beams from his, like, mouth and eyes. It can lead to quite hilarity. And there's a lot of pop culture references in this series. For example, would you please open the door, Link 1986? We'll let a little cool air in here. The studio gets awfully hot because the studio is awfully crappily ventilated. Anyways, he's got all sorts of pop culture references. One of the opening pages of a chapter has the characters dressed up as Parappa the Rapper characters. Kiroro is always building Gundam models. The controllers that a later member of the squad makes are made out of iPods. Just all sorts of funny, crazy stuff like that. And, of course, there's a lot of Japanese culture in-jokes which don't exactly translate well into English. Speaking of translating well, this was not a book that was translated well. The book was translated into English, of course, but you can definitely tell that the person translating this is not very good at speaking English, or, as I think is more likely, English is not his native language. He learned it as a secondary language, because it really comes out in the way that the translation is written. I kind of disapprove of the translation. The dialogue balloons kind of just use, like, the Japanese, like, Fuyuki or whatever, and not really what they're trying to get across, which is kind of hard. They did keep the honorifics in here, which is a good thing because it's a bit more authentic. You get an idea of how each character feels towards the other characters. But the downside, of course, with honorifics is when they're doing something comedic, it really breaks the pacing of that. So I think when you do a translation of manga, you should drop the honorifics when it comes to something that's supposed to happen that's fast-paced or comedic-orientated, because pacing is very important in a situation like that, instead of reading all the sans, chans, and donos. So, I'm going to go ahead and give Sergeant Frog a recommended. I liked it, but the cheesecake panty shot kind of things, which are showing characters bending over, or Aki, the mother of Fuyuki and Natsumi, she's a manga editor, funny enough, who eventually finds out about Kiroro because her children tell her, and he respects her because essentially she's the general of the house. But she is just grossly over-endowed. I mean, to put it one way, a single one of her breasts is larger than her children's heads put together. And apparently Natsumi is even larger-breasted when she becomes fully grown, and I just find that plain disturbing. And so, all in all, I enjoyed this, but it just kind of didn't quite have it all there for me. The translation needed a bit of work, and it was kind of like all the characters look cutesy, like you'd expect from a children's show, and it's got some, like, references to things that kids wouldn't get. But also, I think that if you were a girl and reading this, you may not immediately realize all of these cheesecake shots are in there on purpose, but I think it really detracts from the manga as a whole. Warp Shadow, you've seen the anime, which is much toned down from the manga, but it's still a little bit on the, you know, hey, check this out sort of side. Okay. What do you think of this whole thing?
Oh, I found out that the anime does, it's not distracting. To a big point, no, I didn't really notice too much of it other than just being a fairly normal anime show. It's more about the Kiroro and how he is not taking over the world.
Yeah, That's the thing about this is Kuroro, he's a super big slacker. He'd rather be playing with Gundam and screwing around and taking on the serious mission of keeping the house clean than actually doing the plan that to actually take over the world. This isn't so much revealed in the first volume of the manga, and the anime was made probably about 5 years after the manga began or so, 4 or 5 years. And so they get to the Pinky and the Brain-esque bit. In the beginning of the manga, Kero is actually honestly trying to take over the world, but pretty soon it comes down to every, you know, story is some crazy new Pinky and the Brain-like plan to take over the world, which actually hides its ulterior motives of him trying to get money to buy Gundams or whatever. So, yeah, thanks for bringing that up. The anime is much more sanitized than the manga. They took out a lot of the stuff that Mine had put into this volume of the manga when they made the anime. So if you want it to be a bit more filtered, catch the anime in fan subs, as we'll probably never get it here in America because there's way too much Japanese on-screen text and cultural references, which is kind of a shame because it is an enjoyable show. But I've watched about 47 episodes or so, and after that point, you kind of get bored with the plan of the week approach of it.
And actually, you've seen less than half of it.
I know. That, like, recently they released episode 123 or 125 and a movie. So that's one of them long-running shows.
Oh, yeah.
You might want to try adjusting your mic a little bit. Warp Shadow, it's kind of quiet.
Okay.
Okay, so now we're moving on to our next review. Would you introduce this, Link 1986?
This is, of course, New Super Mario Brothers, only for your Nintendo DS.
And your emulators. Be sure to download those, baby.
The touchscreen doesn't work so well on your...
That's what mice are for. Use your computer mouse. Works excellent as a substitute stylus.
Yeah, but then you're not really touching.
Oh, it all depends on the game you're playing. Okay, so, since you haven't had much time to talk during the show,
right.
Go ahead and kind of set up this review for me.
Well...
Like, describe the basic idea, the premise behind this game, and what they did that's different from traditional Mario games and what they did that's similar.
Right. Well, what they did was take the original Mario style game, which has the, you know, the very first Mario where you're just 2D scrolling across the screen, and added 3D graphics to it. From what I've been told, they also have a map that's similar to Mario Brothers 3. And, you know, other than that, I haven't had much time with it.
All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and take the reins, if you don't mind.
Yes, of course.
New Super Mario Brothers has a very twisty, curvy sort of plot that takes a long time to fully explain. I'll try my best, though. Bowser Jr. kidnaps the princess Mario needs to rescue her. It's very complicated. I'm probably simplifying it too far, but I think that that'll give you a good start to go off of. It's actually very, very lame. It's the best way I can describe this game. Now, a lot of people really, really like this game, but I think that either these people are blinded by their nostalgia, or they aren't experienced enough, haven't played enough games to really appreciate, if you will, the way that this game is not what it could be or what it should be. You see, New Super Mario Brothers was developed by NST, which I've told Link 1986, is a group of students who graduated from Nintendo's DigiPen Institute of Technology, and is basically the new programmers on the block, who have been working on a number of Nintendo DS games, including Tetris DS and what was that other
Metroid
one?
Metroid Prime Hunters.
Metroid Prime Hunters. The team, you can tell, is not they're talented, but they're not that experienced. And even though this game was approved by Mario's creator, what's his name now?
Shigeru Miyamoto.
Even though it was approved by him, I think that he just didn't give a rat's ass because he was working on Twilight Princess or something. Because New Super Mario Brothers takes ideas from the different Mario games, such as the reserve power-up that you had in Super Mario World, the multiple exits that were in Super Mario World, some of the techniques from Mario 64, like the ability to jump off of walls and get a running succession of jumps where Mario jumps higher and does spins and crap. They combine these ideas with their traditional 2D side-scrolling game, but where the characters, the Mario and the enemies are all done in 3D. And the backgrounds are pre-rendered 2D creations made with like 3D modeling software, which gives the game a very ugly and inconsistent look. The pre-rendered stuff is very simplistic. They were probably trying to make it look like a traditional Mario game, but rendered with computer graphics. And these graphics just feel really out of place in a Mario game, because most Mario games have a cartoony, artistic sort of feel to them. Further compounding this is the 3D characters. Now, while they're very well put together, very seamless looking, they just don't fit well in a 2D world. They're 3D, and they aren't really cel-shaded or anything like that. They're just straight-up 3D, so it doesn't mesh well with the background. Further compounding matters is the music is just awful. It's very bland, very boring, very generic. If you played Super Mario Sunshine on the GameCube, the music for that is much better than this, and that's saying something right there. Because the music in this, you could easily substitute in just about anything else, and it would make it better, sad to say. I mean, you know, it's kind of catchy in the way that you play the game, and they recycle the music over and over, so it gets stuck in your brain, but it's you don't like it, but it's in there anyways. And the other problem is that in a lot of the music tracks, there's like little singing voices, like not actual like words or anything, but things like and things like that. Here's the horrible part. It's supposed to be the enemies that are singing. So when it gets to this point in the songs, the enemies stop and turn towards the screen for a split second as they sing these little vocal bits. This is horrible when you're going to jump on an enemy and they stop, and so you ram into the side of them and die. And it happens frequently. Another problem is...
So, literally, they die because they decided to sing?
Yes, you die because they stopped to sing and you slammed your face into them. As we all know, Mario has a very large soft spot on his head, and so just touching an enemy will crush his brains into some sort of milkshake. Just touching them lightly will do it, too. I think he's made out of some sort of fragile china that was glued together.
What's that say about those bricks he's always hitting his head with?
Those are marshmallows that are stuck together with bits of cloud. So it's very backwards if you think about it. The control scheme in this is awful. If you're used to the nice, tight controls that you got in the original Nintendo NES Mario games, or the controls that were on the Super Nintendo, you're going to be completely out of place like this, because Mario controls more like a drop of oil in a world made out of water, is the best way to describe it. It's not very exact at all, and control is an absolute must to have down perfectly in a platformer. Another thing that really disappointed me, and that's the real main theme about this game, is it's not a bad game in the sense that it's awful or unplayable, but it's a sense that it's not a good game. It had so much potential in what it could be as the new 2D Mario Brothers game, but in the end ended up just being a bad combination of ideas from the different games that's just kind of half-baked. It's like a lot of spoiled potential, such as, for example, the power-ups. They introduced three new power-ups in this game. You have the Mini Mushroom, the Mega Mushroom, and the Koopa Shell, which don't get it confused with the Koopa Shells from Super Mario World, because those were actually fun and useful. In this game, the Mini Mushroom shrinks Mario down to half of his regular size, and this will let him get into the incredibly small pipes that are present in some levels.
Which I've also heard is the only way to get into the fourth and fifth world?
Yes. It's very dumb because, you see, unlike Super Mario World, which Link 1986 here has experience with, and you can attest that the secret exits in that game weren't so much as, oh, what power-up do I have here, as you've got to pay attention to things and notice, go, you know, I think there's something up there, some sort of secret I can find. You can find these alternative exits. In the new Super Mario Brothers, almost every alternative exit in the game, if not every alternative exit, requires you to use one of these new power-ups. And so, let's say, like me, you play through the game, you want to go and get all the alternative exits and, you know, unlock all the paths, you actually have to go back to a stage which has one of these three special power-ups, collect that power-up, and then manage to get to the end of the stage without dying, so then you can use that power-up in a different stage. And what makes this really a pain in the butt is that Mini Mario...
The monsters keep singing and you plant your fat face into their butt.
Exactly. And as Mini Mario, you can jump higher, a bit of floatiness when he jumps, but one hit will kill him. So it's more like a power down than a power up, in my opinion. Mm. Mega Mushroom's nice because it makes you huge and you can crash right through enemies and blocks and pipes and whatnot. But that also has a problem because it's a temporary power up and you can't use it in every stage, such as the water stages, which have a fixed top and bottom, are too small for you to be mega in those, and so you can't use the power up in there. Or if you can, the swimming levels are even worse on the control, even slower. Mm. And so the power up's completely useless there. But at least both of those, even with all their faults, are better than the Koopa Shell one. Because what happens with the Koopa Shell one is if you get running quickly, Mario will duck down into the shell and you'll fly around like a loose Koopa shell. If you played the earlier games, you know you can hit a Koopa, pick up his shell and throw it. That's what happens with Mario and you have no control over it. All you can do is like try to pop out of the shell before you fly off into a bottomless pit.
Mm.
So very hazardous because you can just fly into an enemy, fly off a pit, miss something completely, and it's just... retarded power-ups, basically. Like Link 1986 here said, in order to get to two of the worlds, they have, like, these cannons, and you think, oh, the cannons will get you to the secret worlds, because, you know, they blast you to the other worlds. No, if you go to find all of the cannons, and by the way, there's three special coins hidden in each level. How exactly three special coins got hidden in each area Mario traverses, I don't know. But...
Luigi,
that bastard. You got to collect all of these coins to get all the endings because mushroom houses and some levels will be blocked off unless you have the five coins to open the path. And the only way to get to worlds 4 and 7, I believe are their numbers, is you have to be Mini Mario and defeat the stage boss in worlds 2 and worlds 6. Which is an utter pain in the ass, as you're Mini Mario, and you have to do Mario's butt stomp to do any damage at all, because Mini Mario just normally bounces off all of the enemies. And so you have to use his butt stomp technique. The problem is when you use it, you jump up in the air, press down, Mario takes a second to spin around, and then slams his ass on somebody. And so it's very difficult to get the timing right on this to successfully be able to destroy the enemies and get to these hidden levels. So, while everybody's saying great things about this game, and while it's currently the best-selling game in North America, it is not the currently best game in America. So I'm going to have to give New Super Mario Brothers a neutral. It could have been so much more, but as it is, it just kind of ends up like a pie, like a meat pie, but it's only lukewarm, and nobody wants to eat lukewarm meat pie. Your guys' thoughts on that?
I could go for some lukewarm meat pie right about now.
That's because you're gross. Warp Shadow?
Well, I haven't played the game, and I probably never will, so...
Is it because of my review, or just don't care for the system that it's on?
Yeah, I haven't touched a Nintendo since it was the 16th bit machine, really.
Well, that is Link 1986's favorite one, right?
Mm-hmm. Nintendo DS.
I wasn't talking about that. Oh. I meant the Super Nintendo.
No, mine's the Game Boy Advance.
That's your favorite Nintendo system?
Uh-huh.
My favorite is the NES. It's a classic. Okay, well, one more Nintendo DS review before we go. This one's not going to be nearly as long because there's not nearly as much to it, nor is it nearly as well known.
Right. But
like 1986?
I have actually played this one.
Ah.
So I can actually give more in-depth detail.
Excellent.
To this.
Excellent.
So, Zookeeper by Ignition Entertainment, is it?
I believe so, yes.
Yes. Brings you an actually quite entertaining little puzzle game.
So this is actually a puzzle game you somewhat enjoy?
Somewhat enjoyed.
Wow.
Yes. Because the curator of a zoo ends up causing the animals to be angry at him. I forget the details of why they're angry at him.
Let's just hope it doesn't involve anything like a physical relationship.
Yeah. And so they go on strike and leave the zoo. And
a very cutesy, blocky, simplistic look to everything in this game.
Yes, very cutesy. And so you play as the zoo keeper, whose job is to collect three in a row and bring them back.
Yes, essentially he's tracking down the captured animals, and the only way to do that is apparently three at a time. He has some sort of, I guess, magic net or magic truck, which requires three animals at a time.
Well, he has a magic tranquilizer dart that shoots three tranquilizers.
Oh, and his boss, who, by the way, actually in the game, the boss is a jerk. He's really mean and demanding. And so I imagine it must be because the gun shoots three tranks because he bought it cheap off of eBay and demands that the zookeeper not waste the tranks.
Yep. And that's why they got to be in a row,
mm-hmm.
because it doesn't like tracking tranquilizers, which would be awesome. No.
Or for some reason, diagonal can't be done. I guess they're not, you know, in a side-by-side sort of row.
No, so vertical or horizontal. But as far as gameplay goes, it's, you know, basically a page full of animals that they're...
If you've played Bejeweled, I haven't really played that game, but it plays similar to that.
Mm.
Or if you've played, what was that Pokemon game on the Nintendo 64? It was a puzzler.
Puzzle?
Yeah, Pokemon Puzzle League. Plays somewhat similar to that, but unlike Pokemon Puzzle League or other games that were inspired by that, or actually I don't think Pokemon Puzzle League was the original style of that. I think it was a Tetris game that Nintendo released on the Nintendo 64, yes?
Yeah, and then when
Tetris Attack.
That's right, and when they brought it over to America, they said, you know what's really hot? Pokemon. And so they switched the sprites around to be Pokemon.
Yeah, they actually released both Tetris Attack and Pokemon Puzzle League here in America.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
But anyways, unlike those games where you can only swap one animal at a time horizontally, and then it stays that way, Zookeeper, you can switch any two animals that are next to each other either horizontally or vertically. You can't switch mm-hmm. them diagonally.
No.
You can swap them. You don't actually switch them. You swap them, and if it doesn't make three in a row, then it switches back.
Yeah. I actually use the stylus to drag them over rather than just... Because you can just touch them, and they'll swap places. I actually drag it over there, so it feels like I'm...
Moving them yourself?
Yes.
Yes, the game actually offers three different ways of controlling it. You can use the diagonal D-pad. You can use the directions on that to go and find the animal you want to swap, press the A button, and then select another animal to swap it with. But this isn't nearly as fun nor as fast as using the stylus, which allows you to touch the screen and swap them. As Link 1986 just said, you can touch one and then the other to swap them, or you can actually drag in the direction that you want to swap them.
Right.
Which is quite convenient when the timer is getting down low and your game's about to end, so you can just drag the stylus over the screen and hope something swaps around for you.
Well, I didn't do that, but, you know, whatever floats your boat.
Anything else you'd like to add, or shall I wrap up this review?
Well, that's pretty much it, you know.
The game is pretty fun. You start off with, like, two or three little help icons on the right side of the screen. If you tap one of those, it'll show you the animals that you could swap to make a match of three. So if you get stuck, you can use that.
Yeah.
And every so many points, you earn another one.
Right. And luckily, if there is no move to do, they'll erase that screen.
Yes, so you've always got the confidence of knowing there's at least one match on the screen. And if there's not, it'll serve you up a new set of animals. Each stage as you progress requires you to capture more and more animals of kind. So like stage one, you may only have to get 3 or 4 of each animal, but stage like 5 will require you to get 12 of each animal, as an example.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple of different play modes. There's the classic mode where you just play until you lose. There's a challenge mode where the boss is being a jerk, like all bosses. Because I'm a jerk, right?
Yeah.
See, and he's demanding you do like certain requirements you've got to meet. It's like a quest mode. There's a special like I think they call it like Tonkoban mode or something like that. I can't remember, where you have to go and get 100 of each type of animal, and then it'll level you up. And you just basically keep playing that mode until you have no more moves left. But that's kind of fun because instead of like just going when you've got enough of each animal, you've got to get 100 of one before it levels up and thus speeds up. There's one that's like a quick mode. It gives you 6 minutes to play to get the highest score possible. And it has a two-player mode in which you can use either each person having a game cart, which of course is faster to get started, or you can have everybody play using the wireless connection that the Nintendo DS system utilizes. And so you can upload a miniature version of the game to each person's system for specifically playing the multiplayer mode, which we haven't tested that out, but probably is just about the same as the one-player mode, because I'm not sure if you like send blocks to the other person's side. It's not a game that lends itself to that, because your screen is always filled with the little animals and their pictures are on the blocks that you have to swap. So it's probably more of a competition of seeing who can get the most points or who can make the most animals disappear or who gets so many in the time limit allowed or to a certain number. But even though the game is incredibly simple, the stylized graphics and the straightforward gameplay are a lot of fun. It's a perfect game for playing while, for example, you're waiting for your computer to boot, or if you're on the bus, or you're waiting for a phone call, or what have you. It's a perfect way
Or if you're at your local zoo.
Or if you're at your local zoo waiting for your kids to get back, which would be a wonderfully ironic place to play the game. You can just sit down, play a couple minutes of this, and then be done with it, you know. So you can play it for a few minutes or play it for half an hour or an hour, you know, whatever floats your boat.
Yeah.
And I found this game to be much more fun than another DS title with similar gameplay called Meteos, which is essentially the same in that you've got to get 3 or more of the same colors in a row in order to launch them like rockets. But you can only move the colors up and down. And all the time you find yourself in the game wanting to move them side to side. And Zookeeper kind of realizes that in its gameplay, and so it makes it a bit more fun. So I'm going to go ahead and give Zookeeper a recommended. And with that, wrap up the hotspot. And so we can shimmy and shake on down to the final thought. All right, so now we have reached the end of our spectacular 100th episode of ASO Radio. I hope all of you out there listening enjoyed the program. I myself am hoping to give you another 100 episodes of ASO Radio. You know, can't promise how many, you know, will be the final ASO tally. But as long as you keep listening, as long as you keep sending in your fan mail and your fan art, and, you know, as long as you just keep encouraging me to continue producing ASO Radio, I shall do so.
And healthy donations.
Healthy donations, joining Club NZ, buying our shirts and CDs at various conventions. That always helps to put some money in the pocket and keep the website going. After all, no website makes it awfully hard to download. there's not too much more to say on this episode. What are your thoughts, if you will, on the previous 100 episodes of ASO Radio Warp Shadow?
Oh, hopefully you're getting things back up to speed. It should be more constant than, especially, say, your hiatus period. So I think everything should work out fine.
Yeah, I'm planning on getting... these last couple of weeks have been shaky because of the server meltdown, and... I've been having to organize and pack up things the past week And there's another week's worth of just getting everything organized for my big move. But I'm going to record episode 101 in advance so I can be sure to put that up without having to worry about having something ready and no time to prepare for that. So I think these next few episodes are going to see some pretty reliable weekly updates of ASO Radio. What are some of your favorite moments from the past several episodes, like 1986?
Well, I can only think of one, but that would have to be the Cloud and Sephiroth.
Funny?
Yeah, funny. That was probably just about the most memorable part of ASO Radio.
Because of how funny it was, or it's like high production, its length, or just some sort of combination or something different?
I think that it was just so well done that you'd almost think it wasn't NZ-17 Productions that did it.
That's cold, man. That's cold. But I do appreciate that backwards compliment there. It was pretty well done. I am actually pretty proud of that funny. We've done a lot of funnies on the show before, such as my Oh Macrocosm, Can't You See, Can't You See song, which is a playoff of Excel Saga and the Backstreet Boys song. Which did take a lot of effort, but were not as well received.
Well, it's amazing how people who love anime don't really like boy bands.
Yeah, I know.
You know, so
it didn't really pan out like that I was hoping for.
No.
But I have done some that I thought were pretty funny. I thought the one where we've done fake commercials in the past in between the segments. And I thought that the convenient home NECA one was pretty funny because we were like, and then we're like, you know, these sound a lot like those NECA from Xenosaga with Z Guy, you know. Yeah. Had some good times. A lot of hosts on the show, of course. And we have, we've had T Man, we've had Z Guy, we've had DB3, we've had Kiko 6, we've had Tetsuya, we've had.
Yeah.
You remember Tetsuya, eh? And we've had other temporary hosts like Chris MacLee or whatever the guy's name was and whatnot. But definitely looking forward to having some new hosts. The place I'm moving to has a local community radio station. And so I think I might be able to find some experienced people who are used to doing radio programs to get on ASO Radio. So that, I think, will really add to the show. So I've had a great time these past 100 episodes, and I think everybody listening who's been a fan in the past is saying, wrap up the show. But I would like to go and say welcome to all the new listeners, and that we hope to see you next week on episode 101 of hopefully another 100 episodes of ASO Radio.
Yay!
I just hope you don't have that many Dalmatians there to celebrate.
Oh, well.
That would be...
The wonderful part is, I will have a lovely fur coat. For episode 100 of ASO Radio, this is NZ17 with his special guests,
Link1986,
and Warp Shadow,
signing out.
ASO Radio is copyright of NZ17 Productions. ASO Radio is licensed to the general public under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike license. Additional licenses available. For more information, visit us online at www.nz17.com.